The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, and reading from verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Amen. And may God bless to us His Word. The title I want to give to our meditation today is Beware of Hypocrisy. Beware of hypocrisy. This is not a pleasant subject, I readily acknowledge. It is a subject that I could easily pass over, but I dare not, because this is a sin that we're all subject to. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that is not a description of one person or one group of sinners. That is a description of our hearts, of every single one of us. And therefore, believing that we by nature are totally depraved, believing that sin has affected every part of us, and believing, therefore, since our hearts are desperately wicked, believing that every sin known to man, or I should more accurately say, the seed of every sin known to man resides in our hearts. And it only needs the right opportunity for that seed to flourish and to blossom. The Bible does not present a wonderful picture of fallen mankind. And since we are here to hear God's word, we will accept God's word, however unpalatable it may be to us. Yet it is true. And therefore, if we tackle the subject, beware of hypocrisy, we must first and foremost realize that this applies to every single one of us, to those in the pulpit and to those in the pew. There are no exceptions. We have been going through Mark, and Jesus had been asked by the Pharisees and by the Sadducees and by the scribes various questions. And he was able to answer their questions and silence them. And last week, he himself asked a question, and they were not able to respond to him. So they were silent after he asked them a question. But now he turns to the general population who were there, who were witnessing these question and answer sessions. And he turns to them, beware of the scribes. And we read from Matthew 23, because it's obvious that Mark has only a brief summary of what he said in Matthew chapter 23. And as we have read Matthew chapter 23, surely we will conclude that the Lord Jesus Christ on that occasion was absolutely scathing. He cut them to the quick. He did not mince his words regarding hypocrisy. And he is surely teaching them and teaching us today that there are some things that in some sense make his blood boil. Some things that he does not like. Some things he is vehemently against. And friends, it's clear and evident that something he hates above all things is hypocrisy. Now, of course, only the Lord Jesus Christ could speak in the way that he spoke. He was omniscient, and he could see into their hearts, and he could read their minds, and he had perfect, absolute perfect knowledge of them. And therefore he was able to speak in such a manner that no other individual would dare speak. But friends, we must face up to the reality that because we're all sinners, yes, we may hold our hands up and say that some of us are saved sinners, but yet we are still sinners. And still sin will have an influence and a grip upon us. Not what it once did, of course. The power of sin has been broken in the people of God. That is true. But hypocrisy will still be there. And therefore we must be on our guard against it. And we must fight it. So he says, beware of the scribes. And if we put it in context, previously he had spoken about what the scribes taught. How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? Why do the scribes say that that the Christ will come from David's loins? Which is true, but it's not the whole truth. You see, the Son of God, as we noticed last week, he is both divine, he has a divine nature, and he is a human nature. He is not a human person. He is a divine person. That's vitally important that we grasp and understand it. Yes, fully human. Yes, fully God. And the scribes were simply teaching that the Christ would simply come from David's loins. He would be something no more than a great human individual who would be a wonderful deliverer to Israel. Well, he says here to beware of the scribes. And we might ask ourselves, what did he mean? Well, he meant, surely, one thing he meant was to beware of their false teaching. To beware of false teaching. And every single one of us must be aware of false teaching. You see, the scribes were only telling half the truth. Half of it. They were economical with the truth. They did not fully understand what the Old Testament said regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, regarding the Christ, the Messiah that was to come. They simply said he would come from David's loins. But the scriptures clearly said that he would be divine also. So when he says here, beware of the scribes, friends, we must take that lesson on board for ourselves. Now we are not those, most of us, I should say, are not those who teach the word of God. As the scribes did, and as preachers of the gospel do today. And this word is very relevant to people like myself and elders who speak the word of God. They must be sure that they tell the whole counsel of God. We cannot be economical with the truth. We are to declare the whole counsel of God. Now, of course, as you evaluate a man's ministry, no man can simply unfold all the doctrines that are found in the Word of God over one sermon, or over a month's period, or whatever. You must assess a man's ministry over a period of time. And you must look at that man's ministry, and you must realize that this man, if he is to be true, he must declare, in some sense, all the counsel of God. He must bring all the relevant doctrines that are found in the Word of God. He is not to be partial in these matters. He is not to pick the truth that he likes. He is to bring to bear upon the congregation all the counsel of God. As the Apostle Paul said in his farewell to the Ephesian elders, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." If my memory serves me right, I do believe that Paul had been with the Ephesians for a 3-year period. And so what Paul was saying is, over that 3-year period, I have not presented to you my pet doctrines. I have not just simply given you things that are pleasant. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Where does this leave you, friends? Because I readily admit I'm addressing this word to myself and to people like myself who teach the Word of God, that we cannot be partial in what we proclaim. But it does have a relevance for those in the pew, friends. You cannot sit back and be detached about this. Because if I, as a gospel minister, am charged to preach the full counsel of God, if I am charged to bring all of God's word to you, therefore, friends, it's vitally important upon you that you believe all of God's word. How many gospel preachers will preach of heaven? As we should. Is it not lovely to think about that glorious place that awaits the people of God? As we are here in this world, as we suffer all our trials and tribulations, as things get difficult for the people of God, is it not lovely to meditate upon that place where there shall be no more curse, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness? Is it not lovely to meditate upon that and to assure the people of God, that's where you're going? Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, Christian, do you not love to hear these things about the Son of God who has gone to prepare a place for his people? We love heaven. But friends, the Word of God teaches us there's a place called hell. And if I'm to be a true-hearted gospel preacher, I must warn people. People who are sitting under the means of grace. People who hear about heaven and who love to hear about heaven. I must warn you, friends. I must warn you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a place called hell. There's a place where the devil and the angels will go and all those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a wonderful, glorious place for the people of God. But there's a most woeful, there's a most terrible place for those who will not embrace the Lord Jesus. Do you get my point, friends? I cannot be like the scribes and the Pharisees. I must declare all the Word of God to you. And you must believe all of it. You cannot simply believe about heaven. You must believe in hell. You must believe in repentance. You must believe in faith. You must believe that you must turn from your sins. No one will ever get to heaven, friend, unless they turn their backs upon their sins. You must take up your cross and you must follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You must deny yourself if you're ever to be in heaven. We readily acknowledge there are wonderful things in the Word of God. There are glorious promises there for the people of God. That is true. But there are most severe warnings in the Word of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How many here are neglecting so great salvation? Beware of the scribes. Beware of gospel ministers who will teach you so much, but in their gospel ministries they will not seek to bring all the Word of God to bear. Beware of people who sit in the pew and they are selective in what they believe. The spirit of the Pharisee is not dead. We all love to listen to things and to hear things that delight us. But anything that will prick our conscience, Anything that will remind us of our mortality. Anything that will remind us of our accountability to God. Anything like this. And somehow we put the shutters up. Friends, remember the scribes. Beware of them. Beware of this kind of spirit that's within us all. Do we come to the house of God to be pampered and to be made to feel good? Is it not something within us? We like to go to the house of God to hear something pleasant, to hear something pleasing. Is it not true in our homes and in our workplaces and in the society that we live in? We have enough problems to immerse us, and we want to come to the house of God, and somehow we want to hear smooth things from God. And we don't like to be pricked. We don't like our conscience to be awakened. We don't like to be confronted with our sins. Friends, you must understand that before God will do a good work in us, He will cut us to the quick. He will strip us of our self-righteousness. He will show us our sin. He will show us our depravity. He will show us our lostness. He's like the skilled surgeon. He sees something there in the body that should not be there. What does he do? Does he mollify it? Does he pamper it? Does he put some ointment on it? No, he goes in with a scalpel. He takes it out. He cuts it off. And it's painful and it's sore. But oh, the fruit following. The poison has been removed. And the body begins to heal. And the patient, although they are suffering, yet one day they will shake the surgeon's hand and they will bless him for what he has done. That's what the Word of God does to us, friends. It strips us. It hurts us. It cuts us to the quick. It shows us our depravity. And therefore, beware of the scribes. Beware of their kind of mentality of being selective, of only listening and only heeding to the things you like. Oh, friends, this is something that is affecting our day and generation. For multitudes will go to the house of God and they long to hear things that are pleasant. It's like an entertainment place for them. But this is not the way it's to be. You can be sure that where God is pricking your conscience, that's when God is actually doing something in your life for good. Beware of the scribes. Well, in his few verses that we read here in Mark's Gospel, he outlines many sins of the Pharisees, the scribes. They were ones that loved themselves. They loved to go about in long clothing to draw attention to themselves. They long to have salutations in the marketplace, to be called rabbi, rabbi, to be noted as ones who were preachers and teachers of the Word of God. They long to have the chief seats in the synagogues, to have preeminence, so that people might respect them and look unto them. They wanted the uppermost rooms at feasts, and it does seem they had some kind of mercenary spirit where they would devour widows' houses. We don't know exactly what that meant, but it does seem as if they would try to get alongside widows. Widows who are vulnerable. Widows who wouldn't have any support. They would try to get alongside them and try to accumulate their houses. Maybe that they might sign their wills so that they themselves would benefit from the death of the widow. Whatever, we don't know. But they seem to pick on certain individuals who are vulnerable and draw alongside them seeking to get financial gain from them. And in short, friends, They enjoyed the praise of men. For a pretense, they made long prayers. Well, these are some of the sins that Jesus outlines regarding the scribes. And he warns us to beware of hypocrisy. And we might sum up their mentality. We might sum up their condition by saying they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And friends, I want to ask you today, as you have come to the house of God, as you're under the means of grace, what is it that actually motivates you? What actually brings you to the house of God? Is it simply to be seen of men? Is our religion to be stamped with this quality? That all that we do is done in order that men, in some might way, might acknowledge us and say to us, "Oh, you surely are a man of God. You are a woman of God. Look at what you do." Friends, let us hope rather that we have this aim and goal in our minds. To seek the face of the living God. To seek His blessing. To receive His praise. This is what we should be here for. Man indeed should be humbled. God alone should be exalted. And the scribes were ones who sought to bring all the adoration, all the attention to themselves. As Jesus said in that passage we read in Matthew's Gospel, all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Oh, friends, I hope and I pray that this cannot be said of any one of us here. Are we here, in some sense, to draw attention to ourselves? To win the approval of our neighbors or friends? Surely, the true-hearted Christian and the true-hearted God-fearing worshiper, he seeks to bring honor and glory to God and to God alone. Well, I want to draw one or two lessons from this passage here, these few verses for our edification. And as we look at Jesus telling us to beware of the scribes, surely he does warn us a number of things. He warns us surely of the sinful craving to be someone. To be someone. Christianity, friends, real-hearted Christianity will bring us low. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, we are told. And whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. And true-hearted Christianity, if we have Christ truly in our hearts, it will bring us low and it will keep us low. Because the more we go on in the Christian life, the more we will become aware of our own sinful depravity. The more that God works in us, He will open up to us our own hearts, whereby we see the sin that's there ever more clearly, so that we begin, in some sense, to loathe ourselves. Didn't Job, a man who was righteous before God, did he not say, "Behold, I am vile"? This is what he said, friends. And Job was a God-fearing man. He said, "Behold, I am vile." And therefore, if we want to draw attention to ourselves, or if we want to be someone in the church or whatever, there's something far wrong and we are practicing hypocrisy. And we must be aware of this, because it is sinful indeed to seek to be something in the house of God. Jesus also, we might notice, he rebukes all sham religion. They were hypocrites. And they were professional hypocrites. A hypocrite, friends, is someone who's an actor, who puts a face on. Is this what you're like? Do we come to the house of God? We gather with the people of God, and we come with our Sabbath face on. And when we leave the house of God, we go to our own home, and we experience our privacy there, and we are, in some sense, completely and utterly different. Maybe in the house of God, we can speak the language of God. We speak the words of Zion. But then when we get home, or when we go to our work, or when we're in the community, we are completely and utterly different. Well, friends, we must take a warning of this is our situation that we find ourselves in. Jesus rebukes sternly all kinds of sham religion. Whatever we are, friends, let us be true-hearted. Let us be true. Let there be no guile found in us. Oh, rid us from any kind of hypocrisy. Job says, or in the book of Job it says, in Job chapter 20, verse 5, the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Oh, the hypocrite may enjoy the applause of men, and he may be seen as someone who indeed is godly and upright and righteous, but the day will come when he will be exposed. Gospel preachers or gospel hearers, come what may, if we are hypocrites, it will be revealed. We cannot hide. Surely another lesson we could learn from this short verses here, the Lord Jesus does condemn using religion for gain. We have said the scribes loved to get alongside widows who were vulnerable, who were lonely, who needed help. They went to the aid and the assistance of the widows, a notable and a worthy thing, but they had the wrong intention. They used their position, or they abused their position, in order that they might benefit financially from helping or seeking to help the widows. Friends, if we are the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not here to advance our financial position. We're not here to make money out of Christianity. We're not out to make money off our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is a severe warning that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ concerning these things. Another lesson we might notice from these verses is those who know God's law and persist in their sins, they are told, they shall receive greater condemnation. That's what he says. Which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. They were ones who were intimate with the Word of God. They sought to teach others the Word of God, but they did not live according to the Word of God themselves. They set out rules and regulations for others, but they did not obey it themselves. As far as they were concerned, the Word of God was just in their minds, that's all. It did not govern their hearts and lives. It did not transform them in any way. And they knew the Word of God, but they did not obey it. Friends, this is vitally important for us. We are not scribes in that sense. None of us are scribes. But we're all ones who hear the Word of God. We're all ones who know so much about the Word of God. We're not ignorant. Are we putting into practice what we know that we find in the Word of God? Are we living up to the light that we know? This is what we must ask ourselves. Because, friends, if we are not ones who are putting into practice what is found in the Word of God that we know, we shall receive greater condemnation. That's the person, friends, who is sitting under the gospel, who knows that he's a sinner, and will not come to the Lord Jesus. Will not embrace him, will not seek him, will not follow him, shall receive greater condemnation. What else can we learn? Well, surely, obviously, we can learn from these verses that we can pull the wool over our own eyes. Our hearts are deceitful, we know, and we can deceive our own heart. You can deceive the minister's heart. You can deceive elders' hearts. You can deceive other people's hearts. But you cannot deceive the Lord. Friends, he can go right into your hearts, and he does. That's where he goes to. There's where he looks. It's there that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Is it in the heart? Does it affect us? Has it transformed us? Has it changed us? We can put on a face, but the all-penetrating eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to discern whether we be in the faith or not, whether we be true-hearted or not. And he can get through that mask. And he can get through that veil. And one day, friends, he will. He will. Surely then, the ultimate lesson we're meant to learn from these verses is that we are to call upon God that he might search our hearts. Let us not rely upon ourselves. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Surely this should be the prayer of every one of us. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do whatever must be done, O Lord. Come and examine me. If I'm a hypocrite, expose it to me. Give me grace that I might turn my back upon my hypocrisy. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Jesus there did, and he will do that one day to us all. That awesome and that terrible day, when the secrets of men's heart shall be laid bare, the secrets, friends, of our hearts. Beware of hypocrisy. But as I draw my time to a close, having impressed upon you, I hope in some way that we need to beware of hypocrisy. Let us not fall into the opposite error. That error is whereby we might say to ourselves, I don't want to be guilty of hypocrisy, therefore I'm not going to confess the Lord. If we are the Lord's, and if we have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we have an interest in him, and if we're looking to him to be our Lord and Savior as the one who has saved us, then we are to confess him. We are to acknowledge him as being our Lord and Savior. Yes, we know there will be hypocrites. We know that. We cannot avoid it. But you, therefore, friend, because you are a true-hearted Christian, you are not to hide behind the hypocrites. You are to stand up and you are to say that you belong unto the Lord Jesus. Let us not be afraid to confess the Lord just because there may be hypocrites around. We are not to hide. And however feeble our faith may be, yet if that faith is real, and if that faith is genuine, and if that faith is rooted and grounded upon the Lord Jesus, then you must acknowledge it and come out and confess him. Amen. May God bless to us His word. Let us pray together.